I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. I love spring, but I struggle with allergies, which are not the most fun. Luckily, with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, I can say bring on the blooms and face allergies head on. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. I'm obsessed with Kleenex. I always have a box of tissues nearby. I'm always carrying them in my purse. I feel like that prepared friend. But I do have allergies. You could probably hear it in my voice this time of year. You know, we're struggling out here, okay? But if I'm going to be rubbing this tissue on my face, you know, I have makeup on. I want it to be like soft and comfortable. I don't want to like, be ripping up my nose. And that is why I love the Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, because they'd get the job done. They're non-irritating. They are just the go-to. I mean, doesn't everybody love Kleenex? I feel like I grew up using Kleenex. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Welcome to the Altar of Barge, Sunday mornings. One of my favorite, best 15 minutes in the universe is talking to you, Gary. Where are you coming from, Gary? It's a different background.
It is a different background. I am in San Diego County, California. I took the little one to Legoland yesterday, so I'm coming to you from a hotel room, and he's down. Last picture I saw, he's on a swing on the sand, so enjoying himself on the beach.
Well, we'll let you get down there shortly. There's so many stories to talk about. One that kind of piqued my interest that's been going around, I believe it was a Washington Post article that was interviewing Justice Alito, who indicates that he has a pretty good suspicion, I guess would be the best term, as to who the Dobbs leaker is. For those who aren't in the weeds, Dobbs was the opinion that the U.S. Supreme Court opinion that the draft was leaked and it overturned Roe versus Wade. There was an investigation that was conducted, I believe, by the marshal at the Supreme Court. They were not able to satisfactorily identify who the leaker was. And it was interesting because this interview by Alito, he seems to think that he knows who it is. And his belief was that it was done purposefully to freeze the votes.
Right.
Is that how you interpreted it?
That was my reading as well. I believe it was an interview with James Tartano, who's from the Wall Street Journal's editorial feature section. And Alito seemed to lean on multiple times the fact that it was, whether it was the intention of the leaker or not, it invigorated people to have a feeling that maybe if they could get rid of one of the justices, that they could stop the change in law. So he basically was leaning on the fact that it was really putting a lot of the lives of the justices in danger.
Yeah, it was interesting because they talked about that as well. I mean, you know, there's the people who had apparently had come in at Kavanaugh, and they, I think, had been arrested or currently being prosecuted. There's been other kinds of threats. He says, I think in the article he was, or the interview, I don't know which, he was indicating that he's driven around in a truck, an armored truck now with a police force, and that it's become quite a threatening situation, something that they haven't seen before. You know, I've also seen quite a few speculative tweets and other things about people saying, the reason that he has a pretty good idea is because it's him, and it's a way to deflect from him having leaked it. I don't know that I buy into that. That would be some really fourth-level chess. I know that part of the antipathy, if you will, on the left towards him is his testimony in front of Congress during the confirmation hearings, in which he described Roe as settled precedent and in various others. I don't know if we have any of that testimony, but it was in sharp contrast to the opinion as written, where basically Roe and its in both the precursors to Roe and its progeny, in his opinion, based on Dobbs, was badly decided in the first place. And that certainly one could make an argument that he danced around all of that at the confirmation hearings. To his defense, he could also say, I suppose, and kind of where he's headed right now is that, hey, that was then, this is now. One of my favorite quotes from Antoine Scalia, when somebody asked him about, and I think it actually made its way into a U.S. Supreme Court opinion, the legal doctrine of that was then, this is now. I've got a different viewpoint based on things that have been decided ever since.
Right. And when I first saw this article, it was very early this morning. We're on different time zones, and you shared it with me. And I was still, frankly, somewhat asleep. But my first instinct at reading the headline in the first two paragraphs was maybe this was an attempt to deflect attention from some of the other headlines that have been plaguing the justices as of late, of which there have been many. Any thoughts on that front?
Right, and not the least of which is Clarence Thomas and sure. the all of the allegations of receiving.
And more recently, Chief Justice Roberts and his wife are have been in the news as well, right?
Correct. She's accused of taking $10 million in commissions. I believe she's a headhunter or recruiter.
Right.
And taking $10 million in commissions, specifically in one case, from a entity or a law firm that had business in front of the court. You know, it's interesting, though, when you take a look at those. I've seen these arguments in the past, and obviously there's quite a overlap, especially at the Supreme Court, when you don't the ethical policy standards that apply to the lower courts do not apply to the Supreme Court, which is not unique. A lot of the laws that Congress passes, those laws do not apply to people who are in Congress. So right. That seems to be one of the idiosyncrasies, if you will, of our representative government, that what's good for thee, not for me. And interestingly, I don't know that there's ever been the direct line. I'm sure we'll have some people comment on this, but I haven't seen a direct line about in the Chief Justice's case where his wife got a commission and the commission was tied timing-wise to any Supreme Court decision or argument that was made or that it influenced a vote, so to speak. Interestingly, at the same time that all of this is coming out, the Supreme Court is also eroding a lot of these prosecutions that DOJ brings that have a kind of a quid pro quo in terms of bribery and honest services fraud, things of that nature, that they're trying to tie it or firm it up or limit what the DOJ's ability to bring those kinds of cases and the things that constitute honest services fraud. And so far the things that are more troubling are not the Chief Justice's instances, but some of the instances that have been cited, because Gorsuch now has also he had a sale of a piece of property that was a lawyer. That one was kind of a reach as well.
That one,
at least that described. Yeah,
that one seemed like a reach, right? He was a named partner in an LLC. He was, 30%. But if you want to look at it the other way, it was on the market for several years, and then it was only days after he was confirmed that all of a sudden it sells to a lawyer that is a CEO of a firm that has more than a few pieces of business in front of the court. So, but I agree. I mean, the more I read it, the dates look a little tough, but it also seems like this person person who bought this property has deep ties to the area. And, you know, it does seem like it could be possible that that would have gone through sort of without any real forward knowledge of who owned the LLC in question.
Yeah, in fact, I think the buyer said that they had no idea that the way I understood the structure of that transaction and that Gorsuch is part of the selling entity was a non-named person. Correct. Who had a minority LP interest. So there's that for him. There's the Chief Justice. There's Clarence Thomas and his. He's also got a there's a real estate sale. There's some gifts that and vacations of great value. That
renovation to his mother's house as well, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. And so the we've entered a new era. I know there were quite a few comparisons on Clarence Thomas to Abe Fortas. Abe Fortas was in the, I believe, resigned in the 60s. From the Supreme Court on conflict of interest, failure to disclose issues as well. I don't think you're going to see that in any of these cases here. I could be wrong if there's some other disclosures, but as of now, I don't think any of these. I think the response will be that it's basically business as usual.
Yeah, I agree. Do you, it sure seems like there is a new energy behind people trying to come up with these stories and dig deep into, you know, a lot of these business transactions and try to find more of these and kind of get a preponderance of them to try to hopefully force a change, which I agree, I think is sort of a long shot. But do you think that there are more shoes to drop?
It sure seems like it. I mean, I think that because there are disclosure forms that are filled out or purportedly filled out, and because the confirmation hearings produced all kinds of background, if you will, opposition research, it would not surprise me if a lot of these things are also politically driven as well. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're not true, but right. It seems like the timing of it is that it's a full frontal assault right now, based on basically starting with the Dobbs decision.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what other shoes may drop, and if they do get to a point where we just have so much that there needs to be some reform. But I do agree with you that at the moment there's plenty of smoke, but there will be absolutely no fire to put out. It's just going to sort of be standard, you know, business as usual, as you said.
Yeah, it's an interesting time we're living in. Also this week, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on Tuesday, we've got the resumption of the Carroll versus Trump civil rape trial. We talked about that on Friday. Apparently this week they're going to have what I would normally call in California fresh complaint witnesses that she had made, E. Jean Carroll had made, complaints to in real time, meaning that this was not something that's to rebut the idea that this was fabricated years or decades after the fact. So it'll be interesting to see how that is, how that plays out as well.
It will be interesting to see, especially because, you know, you're referring to two of her friends, and I believe they're both fellow journalists who she confided in at the time, or so the reporting goes. But it'll be interesting to see because, you know, this backs us up to the same issue that we've already kind of come up against, at least from Trump's defense side, which is, well, you can't tell us exactly when this was. So how are you going to be able to say when you told these people, and are they going to be able to remember what dates they were told and specific around it? Because, you know, at this point, it's a vague sometime in the 1990s type of thing. I mean, I haven't seen it really, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have not personally seen it narrowed down much more than that. And that's pretty wide. You're talking about a decade as opposed to, you know, something that's supposed to, that is extremely traumatic, I'm sure. So.
Well, so it's interesting you bring that up, because that would cut against the idea that it is a fresh complaint, because part of the whole nature of that doctrine and the way it was developed is that you had somebody that would corroborate your repressed or late-breaking accusation. But if the person can't tell you when it was they were told, and you don't know when the incident took place with some kind of specificity, that would seem to argue against the admission of what otherwise would be hearsay and uncorroborated or an unreliable hearsay. And apparently I assume the judges ruled against that and has not taken that issue up. It'll be interesting to see if it's renewed based on the cross-examination and they do a motion to strike, having said that you can't unring a bell, but to tell the judge, look, there is no foundation that brings this in or makes it admissible if they can't, in fact, tie it to a specific time period, which would take it outside and make it a hearsay exception.
Well, we'll be watching carefully, and we'll be back with more, more details on Tuesday, I would think, Mark. Thank you so much for your time, as always, on a Sunday morning. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Gary, go have fun on the beach.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/ReasonableDoubt Podcast.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.